Hare Krishna. Continuing Japa Book, Chapter 19. Question. When I visit certain holy places or temples, I feel strong emotions and often cry. Where do these emotions come from? I then find myself trying to feel the same emotions later. Is this all right? Or am I trying to enjoy my senses in the name of spiritual life? Answer. Imagine a curtain hanging over a window. The thicker the curtain, the less light will come into the room. In the Dham, the curtain or veil between the material and spiritual world is thin. Therefore, it's quite natural to feel spiritual emotion in the Dham. But you say you're trying to feel the same emotion later, and you wonder if this is okay, or are you trying to enjoy your senses in the name of spiritual life? It is important that we don't become peak experience addicts. It is very dangerous to our spiritual life to want only peak emotional experiences at all times. It's also dangerous in material life. We can use marriage as an analogy. A newly married couple goes through a period we call the honeymoon. But there's no honeymoon after the honeymoon. Marriage means duty and mutual respect. And when one is dutiful in marriage, one finds a more proper and much deeper affection for one's partner. If we want spiritual life to simply be a series of honeymoon experiences, then perhaps we will find ourselves going from one guru to another, one movement to another, one dham to another, and nothing will be enough to satisfy us. The problem with this mentality is that we ourselves remain the center of our concern, but we are meant to serve Krishna no matter what experiences we have. What we want to understand from truly spiritual experiences is that we are servants of Krishna and completely dependent on Him. By His grace, even though we don't deserve the spiritual happiness that is bubbling up inside us now, we accept it. But we understand that we're receiving the mercy of the Dham, of our Guru, of the Vaishnavas. Instead of thinking how to get more spiritual emotion for me, we should shift ourselves to a service mentality. How can I offer something in gratitude to my spiritual master, to the holy dhams, and to the holy names? So the way we can discern whether we are engaging in sense gratification or having truly spiritual experiences is by measuring whether or not we feel a deepening desire in our hearts for service. This is the foundational principle of spiritual life. We are servants of Krishna. Jivera Srupoi, Krishna Nityadas. Other than this, our quest in spiritual life is to become more and more deeply immersed in humble and loving service to Sisi Radha and Krishna and their devotees. The result of this lowly position is that the spiritual energy will bestow on us more spiritual emotion and pleasure and we can imagine from our present point of view. As to where these spiritual emotions come from, they are natural to the soul, but they come by the mercy of the Dham, the holy names, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the devotees, and Srila Prabhupada. They are simply mercy. We are not qualified for anything. Therefore, they are the gift of Mahaprabhu, because he uplifts the unqualified. Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar Mosama Patita Prabhu Na Pai Bear. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as an incarnation to deliver all fallen souls like us and directly bestow upon us love of Godhead. As soon as we think we are qualified for such mercy, we should know that the false ego is expanding. Question. Is everything a trick of the mind? In other words, even if I feel something with all my heart and it is not purely spiritual, and it is not purely spiritual, is it false? If yes, what do I do when I'm intellectually convinced of something, yet my heart or intuition doesn't follow me to Krishna? Does it mean I have entered spiritual life prematurely? Answer, there's a verse in Bhagavad Gita 6.6 that states, Bandhur atmatmanas tasya yenat maivatmana jitaha anatmanas chu satruve varte tatmaiva satruvat. For him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy. The mind is either friend or enemy based on whether or not it is bringing us to Krishna. So how can we tell? Sometimes it's difficult to know whether the mind's latest attachment is favorable or unfavorable, because the mind is so tricky. It is also strong. But we can be guided by Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, and should not simply prescribe what is best for ourselves. Therefore, the Shastra insists that we accept the spiritual master and take guidance from Srinivas Vaishnavas. These persons can act as absolute reference points for us. Otherwise, we will be doomed to follow the mind's whims and will find ourselves in unlimited trouble. That trouble will keep us cycling through the various species of life. From another angle, what happens if we have a material desire and the mind really wants something? We try to push it away, but the mind still wants it. So we try to push again to push it away, but the mind still wants it. We may have to accept, while dealing with such situations, that we cannot go straight to Krishna on our present path. We are just too fallen. But under the guidance of Guru, Vaishnavas, and Shastra, we may learn of another way to go. Acting on higher guidance is much better than independently surrendering to our material desires. An old adage applies, even an experienced doctor doesn't prescribe for himself. But is everything a trick of the mind? Everything other than the desire to love Krishna is simply an interaction of the modes of nature. The mind keeps us in the material world. If we suffer from the vagaries of the mind, does it mean we have entered spiritual life prematurely? We can never enter spiritual life too early. Therefore, let us rephrase the question. When we know that we should pursue Krishna consciousness, but we simply don't have the depth of purity or the desire or sincerity to follow what we know is right, what should we do? First, we should recognize that we are not alone with this problem. It is the nature of every conditioned soul to be attracted to things other than Krishna. It is undoubtedly difficult to control the mind, yet Krishna consciousness means to surrender to the process our Guru has given us. Such surrender helps control the mind and will purify us of material identification. And the process we have been prescribed will become sweeter with practice and with our absorption in it. Certainly, it is much sweeter than anything the mind can provide. If we are attracted to the beauty of this world, even though we know it is temporary and can lead us towards sense gratification, then turn to look at the deity's beauty. If we are attracted to the sweet perfumes bottled for our body, smell the sweet fragrance of the oils and garlands offered to the Lord. That is what it means to be Krishna conscious. If we find ourselves attracted to mundane books or philosophy, study Vaishnava literature. Everything we do in Kali Yuga should be accompanied by chanting the holy names. By Mahaprabhu's mercy, we don't require full surrender to participate in his movement. Full surrender is defined anukulasya sankalpa patikulasya vardhanam vakshishititivishvaso kotripte varanam tata. Atmanakshepthakarpanye sadvida sharanagati. The six divisions of surrender are the acceptance of those things favorable to devotional service, the rejection of unfavorable things, the conviction that Krishna will give us protection, the acceptance of the Lord as one's guardian or master, full surrender and humility. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 22:100. Who among us is powerful enough to make a complete surrender? Who is so fully sincere that without hesitation he will embrace whatever is good for his Krishna consciousness and will push away whatever is unfavorable? Krishna demands such surrender, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not. Rather, he simply offers his mercy and allows us to chant Krishna's names. So chant Krishna's names again and again, constantly if possible, and taste the sweetness of the spiritual world that Harinam Sankirtan offers. Chanting congregationally offers even easier access to the sweetness of Krishna's names than japa. Chant Hare Krishna in ecstasy. Anande bolo Hari, Vajra Vrindavan, Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayaman. Call out the names of Lord Hari in great ecstasy and worship the transcendental realm of Vrindavan while absorbing your mind in meditation upon the divine feet of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. Let the mind clear off some of its dust in this way. Then, meekly, humbly, we should understand our fallen condition. After that, we should do whatever service we can. Your question can be taken to mean, is it too early to practice spiritual life if I'm not a pure devotee? A devotee I know once applied for Indian citizenship and was rejected on the basis that he was a foreigner. If he wasn't a foreigner, why would he need to apply for citizenship? We are also foreigners in the land of Krishna, so we too have to apply for citizenship. We are not pure, that is why we have to practice spiritual life. If we didn't, we would face disaster in the form of death and rebirth. Take the spiritual life. As soon as we come to any consciousness of the nature of life, we should chant Krishna's names in the association of devotees and very humbly pray for mercy. Well, Srila Prabhupada once told the story of how Mahatma Gandhi had a fight with his wife. He told his wife to get out and never come back. Later, he heard a soft knocking on the door. He opened it to find his wife standing on the stoop. He said angrily, "I told you to go." She humbly replied, "I had nowhere else to go." We should be like that with the holy name. Question. Could you please summarize the first four texts of Shikshastakam as they relate to chanting japa? Answer. The first verse of the Shikshastakam, Cheto Darpanam Arjunam, prescribes Shraddha. Blessed by faith, we begin to regularly chant Krishna's holy names. Then as we advance, we see the need to improve our chanting by removing anarthas and other impediments to advancement. This is described in the second verse of Shikshastakam, Nam Namakari Bahudhaniva Savashakti. At this stage, we're trying to chant properly, but because we see our inability, we began to feel humble, as described by the third verse of Shikshastakam. That humility fixes us in the understanding that we are dependent on Krishna's mercy, nishta, and fixed in chanting and dependent on Krishna. We understand the need to cleanse the heart of remaining material desires as described in the fourth verse of the Shikshastakam. Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim. That attempt by Krishna's mercy gives rise to ruchi. Hare Krishna, that's the end of chapter 19 of the Japa book. Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari.